So we come to the end of 2 Thessalonians, just three chapters in it. We've been thinking about it for quite some time. But there have been some important matters to think about in these chapters. And it's said to me again that we do need to look at all of Scripture. Because if we don't, and we just choose the bits that we like, then we're not going to sort of take in all the things about God's nature and things pertaining to the end of the world as well. I'm not going to go through all the book again, but just to note in passing that we have thought about hell, because the first chapter spoke about it, using the words everlasting destruction. We also talk about the man of lawlessness, another name for the Antichrist. And then last week it was about idleness, those who won't work. And again, to my knowledge, there isn't that much in the New Testament. It might be the only place which addresses that particular theme. So this is a letter to Thessalonians. This is Thessaloniki, part of Greece today. So this is that letter that was written to that place all those years ago. One of the early letters in the New Testament. Possibly one of the earliest. And it addresses those subjects of the second coming, both in the first and in the second one, because people were getting bothered about what's going to happen now that Jesus has died, and it's been a few decades now, so they wanted those sort of answers. But that's not what we're talking about tonight. Just three verses this evening, and here they are on the screen. In fact, let's read these verses together. Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times and in every way. The Lord be with all of you. I, Paul, write this greeting in my own hand, which is the distinguishing mark in all my letters. This is how I write. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Now, usually there's a lot of grace and peace at the beginning of Paul's letters, pretty well all of them. Once or twice he jumps straight in to the issues, but usually he prefaces it by lots of grace and mercy and peace to you. But in this letter he saves, well, he does it at the beginning, but he saves some peace and grace to the end of the book as well. And I imagine that's because there had been some disharmony in the church, especially over this issue of idleness that was spoken about last week. And he's wanting the church to be together and not to be sort of grumbling and judging one another. So he ends with these words about peace and grace. But in the middle of these verses, you'll notice there's this other verse about the way that Paul writes his letters, this verse 17. It's in the sandwich between peace and grace. And so I just thought it'd be worth just thinking about who wrote Paul's letters for him and why was it all happening, and just thinking about that for a moment or two. A lot of us here would have just thought, well, Paul just penned his letters and sent them off. But it wasn't quite that done in that sort of way. There was somebody called an amanuensis. Some of you will have heard of that word before. And an amanuensis is the Latin, and it literally means a manual labourer. It was someone who was skilled in transcribing speech. I'm trusting you, David, that when these words come up, they come up on the screen. So they were employed to write down what another person was saying to them. So Paul would dictate his letter, and then the words would be written down by an amanuensis. It may have been that Paul wrote the complete letter himself sometimes. So, for example, in that letter to Philemon, which is a very short letter and a very personal one, just one chapter, he may have written it all himself. And it may have been that he wrote parts of the Galatian letter himself. Because, again, the words it says in Galatians, see what large letters I use as I write you with my own hand. He may have quite a lot of that Galatian letter, as I say. But the usual method was simply to write the final couple of sentences himself so that people would know that it was coming from his hand. And he was given his own authentication to the letter. He doesn't say this every time, But he chooses to do that in Galatians and in Philemon, and also in a couple of other places, in 1 Corinthians 16:21. I, Paul, write this greeting in my own hand. And in Colossians 4:18, I, Paul, write this greeting in my own hand. Remember my chains. Now, he probably writes it in this letter in that way, because I don't know whether you remember, but back in chapter 2, they thought that they'd received a letter from Paul saying that the end of the world was coming, the day of the Lord was coming. And Paul had to say to them, I'd not written any such letter. I don't know where they've got that information from. It may have come, obviously, from another source. And so in this particular context, he wanted to be ultra sure that they knew that these words were from him. So the verse says again, I, Paul, write this greeting in my own hand, which is the distinguishing mark in all my letters. This is how I write. Presumably his handwriting had some distinguishing mark. Now, when our letters come and we get home in the evening, because they usually arrive during the day, and now I'm standing next to Wendy, and there's a few letters, she'll look at them and say, I know who this is from. And you'll be the same, because you'll know the handwriting. And it's amazing, isn't it, how many people we know and how you can distinguish people's handwriting. I mean, you may not do that, but I know a lot of people do, just by seeing, you know, the address on the envelope. You just know who it's from. And he also talks about my letters in this verse, my letters. And we only have 13 of the letters of Paul in the New Testament. I wonder how many letters he wrote. See, we've lost some of them. We don't have those words. He might have, we think there's another letter to Corinthians, for example, because it's the only way you can understand Corinthians correctly by some of the information he's sharing. But he talks about another letter, so we've lost that letter. I wonder how many letters the man did write. But if we believe that God helped us to put this New Testament together, we have what we need in order to live the lives that God wants us to live. So I want us to think now about these blessings. These three blessings. I'm getting out of order. Let's just see the verses again. Again, you read them with me. Now may the Lord of peace himself at all times and in every way, the Lord be with you. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Now those words break down into three different blessings. So what is a blessing? When is a blessing a blessing? I don't necessarily mean this, but when is a blessing a blessing? You tell me, when is a blessing a blessing? Speak to me.
When someone says, God bless you.
Yeah, okay, yes, good. When you receive a blessing and you have peace. Yeah. We're making that very spiritual, that's good, because these verses are spiritual. But I suppose blessings might reach further than being spiritual. It was a blessing for me this afternoon in Tesco. I went to Tesco today, to the pharmacy. And for the first time in my life, I didn't pay for the prescription. That's a blessing. She sent her little boy to pass it to me. I say a little boy, I mean a teenager. So I didn't speak to the pharmacist now. Now, one of the congregation said to me a couple of weeks ago that they had asked their husband if they could do something. Did he mind? And he said, the words that the person used was, and he has given me his blessing. Now, some of you women here think, fancy asking your husband. Yeah. Well, you know, there is a right way to act, ladies. We won't go into it now, no. But even with, because it's the other way round as well, you know, you want to check out with people whether you have their blessing to do something. It means that you have a freedom to do that. Now that's human blessing, but these verses are talking about divine blessing. And if we're blessed by the Lord, that is very special. I usually say at the end of a service, well, I vary it a lot, but I often say, may the Lord, what do I say at the end of the service? May the blessing of Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit go with you. I don't know whether that does magnificent things. It's important to end with a blessing, I think that's true. But how much those words impart, who's to know? It's hard to measure that, isn't it? But we traditionally end with the blessing because we're wanting to ask the Lord to bless us as we go and leave a particular place. Last year I went to Fawd y Brenin, which is a place in Wales, right over to West Wales, and one or two of you have been there, I know. And they're having remarkable blessing at that place. Let me just say one or two words about it. A book was written probably two or three years ago now, which is called The Grace Outpouring. And it's about all that's been taking place in Fawd y Brenin. Does anybody remember what Fawd y Brenin means, Joy? The sheepfold. The sheepfold. Yeah, thank you. The sheepfold. And what has been taking place there has been remarkable. Quite spontaneously, out of God's heavenly blessings. People haven't done anything for the blessing. They've simply gone there. It has been different for people. Sometimes it's just been the peace of God. Sometimes it's been overwhelming blessing. Powerful blessing from the Holy Spirit. They have a little chapel, very, very small, and very, very small. You know, the other side of it is where Angie is at the moment. It's just a circular chapel, very, very small. You go in there and you can just be quiet and read your Bible, and they have a cross that's a bit further away, and that cross has been put in the ground, and people go and just stand by the cross. But so that's not my point, actually. But it's worth going. It's a long way to go, but it's worth going. They have quiet days. Which you can just go and spend some hours there. But the principle that they operate, which I want to understand a little more, is that they believe that because all of us are priests of God, in the New Testament, all of us are priests of God, and they take the instance of Aaron, the first priest of God, and when he gave blessing to people, he blessed people in his own words. He didn't say, Lord, would you please bless this person? Do you see the distinction? It's a subtle distinction, but it is a distinction. And they have developed this practice where they bless their communities and the people around them and anybody that comes anywhere near to them, really. They bless them so that they are bringing the blessing, but they're obviously doing it in the name of the Lord. They're not simply saying, you know, would the Lord please bless Wendy tonight? It's you use some words and you do it in the name of the Lord. You might think, well, what's the difference? Well, there's something there, and I still need to do my own research on it. And they've been blessing their community. You know, they regularly just bless the community around them. It's a rural area. And they've seen tremendous blessing developing in that community. And there are four Baptist chapels that are just located in that area. They're probably Calvinistic Baptist. That's not a problem. You know, they come from that particular stream. And they're doing reasonably well, but they felt something of the blessing of this place since they've been there for the last 10 years. And one of the Baptist chapels that we went to recently, they've just decided to refurbish. So they've made it really nice inside. And the pastor said after the refurbishment to the person who runs Fawd y Brenin, he said, we've done this because we want to bless your work. Because they haven't got any accommodation really for conferences, and they have lots of conferences. And they said, we'd really love you to use our church that we've refurbished for you. So like it's blessing coming back again, having brought blessing to the community. So I think we need to think more about that, and the more research I'll do, I may be able to bring some clearer teaching in the future. But here, we're talking about the Lord's blessing of us. Here's the first verse then. May the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times and in every... Oh, we've just read that, haven't we? So this first blessing is, may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times and in every way. And in every way, that should say, rather than everyone. That's my mistake. Now, here was definitely speaking about the Lord Jesus. When it says, may the Lord, we're talking about the Lord Jesus here. We often speak about the God of peace in the Bible, but here it is Jesus. And it's a very fitting title for Jesus because he is the Lord of peace. And when Isaiah was describing that baby who was to be born, what did they say of the baby? That he would be the Prince of Peace. And then in Ephesians chapter 2, on that great chapter when they're trying to pull together the Gentiles and the Jews because there's hostility between them, it says in Ephesians 2:14 that Jesus is our peace. So he's the Lord of peace, he is our peace, he is our peace. And he still has that ability to bring people who are at odds with one another, modern day Palestinians and Jews, he remains to be the peace of God for them as well. And this is peace in a variety of different ways. I want to talk about peace in four ways quickly now. First of all, peace with God. Peace with God. I mustn't step over this one too quickly. It's our birthright now that we've become Christians. We are at peace with God. It's a real gift from God because most of the population are not at peace with God. But because of what Jesus Christ for us has done for us, we are at peace with him. And then we're also at peace with other humans with whom we were out of peace. It's wonderful when we find that reconciliation one with another. I hope we're all fully reconciled in this room. I hope we're fully reconciled within our church with people. Let's just think for a moment. If there are people in our church, in our membership, with whom we are not at peace, then we need to get in peace with them. And through the cross, there's a way forward with our humility as well. But then it's also peace in our communities. Remember years ago hearing the story about somebody who prayed regularly for Northern Ireland. I'm going back a little while now when the Northern Ireland troubles were on the news almost every night. There are other things on the news now. But, you know, there used to be battles in the streets in Northern Ireland. And there was a particular group of people in London who used to be quite burdened to see that brought to a place of peacefulness. And on one evening, let's say around about 7:30, these group of people, they'd gathered together and they were praying that the battles going on in the streets of Northern Ireland would come to nothing. And they believed, as they prayed, they sensed that they heard the Lord, that he'd done it. When the 9 o'clock news came on, it said there was a battle in a particular part of Northern Ireland, and just before 9 o'clock or 9:15 or whatever the time was, it seemed to cease. And people started to bring cups of tea out to share with those who had been fighting. And it said, a spirit of peacefulness or friendliness, a spirit of friendliness seemed to invade the area. Now, we don't really realise what we can do when we call on the God of peace to bring about reconciliation in places which seem way out of our control. And yet that was just one instance. I'm sure that happens a lot and we know nothing about it. When the powers that sometimes cause the chaos can be spoken against. That's peace in communities. But notice it says peace in every way. It should say way rather than one. At all times and in every way. Now that's a really broad category. Peace at all times and in every way. I like the story about John Wesley, You know that I was a Methodist before I was a Baptist, and I know lots of stories about Methodist history. And there's one I like about John Wesley when he'd gone off to America to convert the Indians. But when he got there, he realized that he wasn't converted himself. And so he returned in order to find out more about true salvation. And whilst he was on the boat coming over, there was a big storm in the Atlantic, very common, I imagine. And John Wesley was frightened. He thought that the boat would capsize, and he thought he was finished. But he noticed on this boat that there were a group of people over in the one corner, and they were praising the Lord. This was astounding to John Wesley. He was thinking, how can they do that? We could be all finished in a matter of minutes. And he made the acquaintance with the leader of this group, who was a Moravian. And he shared with him his total confidence in God. And I suppose what he was saying was, if we perish, we perish, but we know where we're going to. And if we don't perish, we'll give thanks to the Lord. That made such a deep impression on him, and was one of the routes for John Wesley eventually to find that same peace of God himself. It happened a year or two later at Aldersgate Street in London. I won't go into that story now. But it's peace here at all times and in every way. So where are we tonight? You know, what is it that is bombarding us in our lives and in our circumstances? Because this is the Lord of peace, the Lord Jesus, who wants to give peace at all times, and in every way. There aren't any circumstances outside of that. So the promise surely is that God's peace can remain with us, whatever is happening to us. Perhaps hard to get our heads round, but that's the promise. And so therefore we can say, wherever we are, Lord, would you just come and still my heart? I'm frightened to death at the prospect of this. Would you come, Lord, and just give me something here that will enable me to cope with this, so I can walk in peacefulness and not in fearfulness? I want to pray that over you before I finish this evening. The peace of God at all times and in every way. So that's the first blessing. The second blessing is, the Lord be with you. The Lord be with you. The first blessing is the gift of Jesus' peace to us. This is the blessing of the presence of the Lord with us. And again, there's a personal and a corporate experience of this. A few Sundays back, about 6 or 7 Sundays back, at the end of one of the services, I gave a blessing that I'd never given before. I just popped into my head, and so I decided that I would give these words out. But what was really lovely, in fact, I want to tell you what the blessing was first. The words were those ones from Exodus chapter 33, where Moses has been talking to the Lord, and he's saying to God, there's no way that I'm going to go and do the next thing unless you are with me. There's no way. And eventually the Lord says to him, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. And that Sunday morning, I just gave those words out. My presence will go with you, and I'll give you rest. So anyway, I got to the door, and having spoken to a few people, then a lady came up to me and she said, you do not know what that has meant to me this morning. And I thought, oh, good sermon. It wasn't the sermon. It was that blessing at the end. And she then said, that verse has strengthened me over the years. And she said, you don't know what I'm going through, and tomorrow I've got to go through something. Now, actually, I do know what she's gone through. I've subsequently found out, and it's big. But you see, the Lord just popped that one straight into her heart that morning. My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. I'm not trying to make a big thing of myself here, because I just popped into my head and just spoke it out. But that has a way to connect with people that helps them to just find that strength and presence from God in their lives. So that's a personal blessing. But there's also the corporate. And if you remember the context here of Thessalonians, there had been some backbiting. There had been people who were idle. And so Paul is just desperate for them to know the Lord's presence, for them to be together, so they can move on well together. I don't know about you when you write letters, but often when I think it's appropriate, and people are going through some difficult times, I often say, the Lord is with you. I don't say very much, actually. And I'll say, the Lord is with you. Might text it, or might just email it to somebody, or perhaps putting it in a letter. Doesn't take very long to say that. And I don't think we should just use it in a sort of non-thought-out way, but if those sort of things, or perhaps make up a little word of blessing that has the Lord's blessing in it, just so that you can give that blessing to people. The Lord is with you. May the Lord's presence be with you. Strengthens people. And then finally, the blessing. The third blessing is the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Let me just say a few words about grace in closing before we come to communion. We're never going to plumb the depth of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. What is grace in Jesus Christ? God demonstrated his grace to us in the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus. God showed us his grace in the giving of his Son. In the most costly way, we have been shown the depths of God's heart. It is this grace that we should ask to be with us. How are the words put? The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. It's this costly grace that God is asking should be imparted to us. I like it in Acts 11, I'm nearly finished, when it says of Barnabas when he went to Antioch, and this was the breakthrough time when Gentiles had started to come into the faith. Up until this point it had all been Jews, but you get to some Gentiles in Acts chapter 11, and Barnabas is called from Jerusalem to be with them. And when he gets there, it says he saw evidence of the grace of God. It was as he met and interacted with the new believers, both Jews and Gentiles, and he reveled in what God had done in Christ, in his grace, for those people in that place. And it's this grace that we're inviting among us this evening. Well, before we come to sing a song or two, let me just pray that blessing over all of us now. Let's be receptive, shall we? Because the Lord is with us. His Spirit is with us. He is near to us. He is the Lord of peace, who brings his peace at all times and in every way. Perhaps one or two of us this evening need to connect with that. Worries about our family, members of our family. Whatever it might be, in all times and in every way. And I say the Lord be with you. May his presence be with you. And may the grace of his presence